is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 to 12, which is on page 971 in the Pew Bibles. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets.
Thank you, Laura. And I'm going to invite Mary up to, she's going to share with us this morning. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, my darling.
Mary, we've been doing a little bit of talking recently. And Mary has reached a milestone, 21. Mary was talking about how she felt God had been so faithful to her over the years. And I said, oh, Mary, why don't you share with us about God's faithfulness and kind of the part that church has played in that? So I'm going to pray for you, Mary.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, darling.
Dear God, thank you so much for Mary. And I pray that you would help her words to be your words. You'd help our ears to be open, to listen to what you want to say to us. And that we would grow together as a family. And that if we are not sure on you, I pray that you'd help us to get to know you better. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you. I'm just nodding to Andrew just to make sure that the sound is on. I can hear me. I hope you can hear at the back. I originally thought that this morning was going to be a short interview with Hannah, but it's turned out to be something very different. And I must say, it's an enormous privilege and an honour to be sharing my heart with you this morning, especially on this celebration day of Harvest Thanksgiving. I hope that you've come here today with hearts full of praise and ready to lift up the name of Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can I have an amen to that? As we look around church today, we are reminded of God's goodness. God's goodness to us in so many ways. He created the world and everything in it, and he set the rainbow in the sky to remind us of the covenant that he made with his people. God is loving and he's faithful to all that he has made. There are so many things to thank God for, especially today. But I'm just going to focus on three things, trying to be as simple and as brief as I possibly can, because it is an all-age service. And the first point that I want to make is that God is faithful. I've been a Christian now for over 60 years. And I really can't imagine what life would have been like if I hadn't surrendered my life to Jesus Christ all those years ago when I was 18. I was working in my summer school holidays at a Christian holiday centre in Torquay. I was born and brought up in a small village in the Ribble Valley in Lancashire. So going to Torquay was going to another part of the world for me in those days. And like many people of my generation, I went to Sunday school and I loved listening to the stories of Jesus. As a child, I always had an awareness of God, and I never doubted that he existed, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him. In Torquay, we always had a midweek service, and in that service we would sing our favourite hymns, and people would be invited to share their own personal story of coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And in one such meeting, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my own personal need of him. And that night I went out into the garden and surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. It was very simple, but it was genuine, and it was from a sincere heart. And I knew that Jesus had heard my prayer, because from that moment on, Jesus became very real to me. And a few weeks after taking that first simple step, I was launched into university life here in Aberystwyth. I came here as a student to study botany, and that was in 1958. I'm probably the oldest old student here this morning. I know that there are many old students here this morning. I think 5 of our staff members are old students. We have a lot to thank God for. And I know if I had to ask you, the former students, what is the most important thing that you've learned in your Christian walk? Or what would you like to thank God for? I'm sure that his faithfulness, would be at the top of the list. Now, in those early days, I didn't have a great deal of biblical knowledge, but my understanding of what it meant to be a disciple grew. And it grew as I met with other Christians to pray with them and as we studied the Bible together. Now, when I've been tempted to wander and go my own way, God has been faithful. And he has brought alongside me the help that I needed in my Christian walk. And I'm sure that that's the experience of many of you too. And I remember the words of one dear friend who said to me, "If you love God, you love his word." We say that God is faithful to all his promises. God is the ultimate promise keeper. But if we don't know what his promises are, we can't stand on them when difficulties arise in our lives. And I've discovered personally, and I'm sure many of you have too, that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. How we need God's word in our hearts. Yes, God is faithful. And I'm reminded of the words from Lamentations that have been put into a song. And they say this: "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And the second point that I'd like to make this morning is that we are a family. We've already heard references to that already from Alison. And the first family that ever existed, of course, was established in heaven. And that family was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Family was God's idea. And the Bible tells us that we, as believers and followers of Jesus, have been adopted into his family. What a privilege it is to belong to the family of God here on earth. And what a privilege it is to be called children of God. Now, in John's Gospel, chapter 3, a familiar chapter to many of us, Jesus is talking with a man called Nicodemus. Jesus is telling him that in order to become a part of God's family, he must be born again. Now, Nicodemus found it very difficult to grasp this truth. But Jesus went on to explain that we need a spiritual rebirth in order to become part of the kingdom of God. And this was my experience when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Now today we often refer to the family of God as the church. But you know, this can be misleading and it can lead to misunderstanding. We know that the church, as the Bible describes it, is not the building, it's not the denomination, but it's the family of believers in Jesus Christ. I love my church family here in Aberystwyth. I love being part of St. Michael's Church here, and I hope that you do too. It's here that we learn to grow together in grace, where we study God's word together, where we encourage and where we support one another, and where we learn to appreciate one another. All that with the purpose of becoming more like Jesus and bringing honor and glory to his name. Now, on my first Sunday here as a student and a very new Christian, I naturally went to the Methodist Church, which was the denomination that I belonged to, in my home village. I was welcomed very warmly, and this church became my family for the following 3 years. I joined the choir, I joined the Methodist Society, and this gave me the stability that I needed as a young student. Sometime later, I joined the Christian Union, and it was there that I met a certain young man called Ken Walters. The rest is history, as they say. Ken and I have now been married for over 56 years. Yes, God is good. And yes, God is faithful. I want to encourage you this morning never to take church life for granted. In spite of her weaknesses, in spite of her failures, the church has always been the greatest force for good in the world, and always will be. And here I want to make a quote from Chris Rogers. Now, Chris is the senior pastor of Soul Survivor Church in Harrow, and he put it this way: "The church was never intended to be a group of people meeting for worship. It was intended to be a living community of people, all dying to themselves so that Jesus would be alive in them and that they would bring life to others." Now, Ken and I have worshipped together here in St. Michael's for over 40 years. And we've been so blessed to be a part of this family here. Soon after we were married, we went to spend 4 months in Dallas, Texas. Ken was carrying out some research for an oil company there. And on our first Sunday, we had no car, so we walked a couple of miles to find a church, not even knowing where we were going. The temperature was over 100 degrees, so when we arrived at the church that we found, we were pretty well exhausted and very hot. But we found an evangelical Baptist church. And this church was called Keastwood Baptist Church. And this church became our home for the next 4 months. We loved being part of the church family there. So much so that when we arrived back in Aberystwyth, we called our new home Keastwood. And it's still called that today. Now, because of Ken's work in the university, we've had the privilege of traveling to many parts of the world. And we've discovered that the Church of Jesus Christ is worldwide, and we've always found fellowship wherever we've been, fellowship with other believers. We've worshipped in the world's largest church in Seoul, Korea. We've worshipped in a Hillsong church in Cape Town, South Africa. And we've queued up in the snow at the Airport Church in Toronto, Canada. God's family is full of variety, it's full of colour, and this is something to really celebrate and give thanks for. We're walking this Christian life together. Together with our brothers and sisters around the world. And we have the tremendous assurance that Jesus will continue to build his church and the gates of hell will never overcome it. The third point that I want to make this morning is that we have a glorious future. People are very concerned today for their future. Things are so unpredictable in our world. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we read these words. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So what is our future as followers of Jesus Christ? First of all, he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Don't worry. Trust me. I'm going to prepare a place for you, he said. Now, John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell, isn't it? And it's so familiar to very many of us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Heaven will be our home, and we will spend eternity with Jesus. Now, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he made a promise to his disciples. He said he would never abandon them, but that he would send the Holy Spirit, who would be their helper, and the Holy Spirit would come not only to be with them, but to be in them. And true to his word, and true to his promise, the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost to fill the lives of the believers, so that they could go out and fulfill the command of Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations. Today, we too can be filled with the Holy Spirit, just as the disciples were. And we only need to ask and have hearts that are open to receive. We cannot live this Christian life in our own strength. It's God's intention that we live this life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in order to do that, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit, just as the disciples were. Their life wasn't easy. They didn't shun and run away from the difficulties. But for the disciples, it was glorious and effective, resulting in winning many souls into the kingdom and seeing miracles, signs, and wonders following their ministry. And you only have to read the Acts of the Apostles to discover what they achieved as they were led and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, a whole new life begins and opens up for us. And this life goes on for all eternity. And just as Jesus rose from the dead, so too we will be raised to spend eternity with him. And one day we will rule and reign with him when he returns in glory. Yes, as Christians, we have an amazing future. Therefore, as the people of God, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So today, at this Harvest Thanksgiving, we can thank God together that he is faithful, that he calls us his children and that he's adopted us into his family. And we have a wonderful future that's never going to come to an end. And to God, we give all the glory and all the praise. Amen.